Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. When the state legislature passed the capital budget last week, it ended a negotiating process that largely occurred behind closed doors. That's often the case for legislation that requires the Senate and House to work out their differences. But the process for this year's capital budget has drawn concern from some minority members. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
The Alaska House and Senate each passed different versions of the capital budget, funding roads and other infrastructure, this spring. But unlike in past years, they didn't form a conference committee to find common ground until the end of July. On July 27th, the legislature returned to Juneau for its third special session. In 5.5 hours, the two chambers met, formed a conference committee, and passed the $1.4 billion capital budget. That pace and closed process upset some members of the Republican House Minority Caucus. During the capital budget debate in the House, North Pole Representative Tammy Wilson said she had never seen anything like it.
We should be really concerned because it's a public process that we're giving up, the public process of being able to testify on what's in this budget.
It was unusual for lawmakers to meet on the capital budget outside of the legislative session. It's not unusual that they resolve budget differences behind closed doors. Budget conference committee members usually meet privately to work out details. When they hold public meetings, it's to vote on the compromises they've already reached. On the 27th, the committee unveiled the new capital budget. In 29 minutes, the committee shot down some House minority Republican amendments and moved the bill along. Wilson said this week she hopes the legislature finishes the capital budget much earlier next year.
We weren't called back until a deal was made. You could pretty much tell that when they met at 1 o'clock and within, 5 or 10 minutes, it was done. And I just don't think that's very fair to Alaskans not to be able to take part.
Lawmakers in both chambers heard public testimony on the capital budget before passing separate versions. Anchorage Democratic Representative Les Guerra says the public and the minority also had more than a month to weigh in. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
State Revenue Commissioner Randall Hoffbeck is resigning. Alaska Public Media reports that Hoffbeck announced yesterday he plans to step down August 17th in order to return to the ministry. Hoffbeck, who completed seminary in 2014, says he also wants to spend more time with his father, who has Parkinson's disease, and his grandchildren. Deputy Commissioner Jerry Burnett will be interim commissioner until Governor Walker names a replacement. National Weather Service climate expert Rick Toman says there's a good chance Alaska will be warmer than normal over the next couple of months, and more certainly in some coastal areas. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Toman says the computer models and array of sensors that he and other climate experts use to develop long-term forecasts suggest there's a 45% chance that the eastern and central interior will be warmer than normal through October. He says that's a statewide trend that's developed in recent years.
The early autumn season over most of the state, except for southeast, in the last decade, there's been really quite a strong trend for a warm early autumn season.
But Toman says the models show an especially strong likelihood of warmer than normal temperatures in coastal areas through late summer and early fall. He says that's mainly due to warm sea surface temperatures and the absence of sea ice in the Bering and Beaufort Seas.
Especially over western and northern Alaska. Very low sea ice cover. The ice cover left very early, even by modern standards, across the North Slope.
Toman says when Arctic sea ice cover retreats northward to its so-called minimum extent sometime in September, it probably won't break the minimum extent record set in 2012. But he says years of warming in the Arctic make it certain that it'll be near the top of the list.
It's not a question of is it going to be above or below normal. The only real question is, will it be the lowest? Will it be the second lowest? Will it be the third lowest?
Toman says precipitation is harder to predict a month out than it is for temperatures, but he says the models suggest near normal precipitation throughout much of the state through October, except along the Bering Sea coast and southeast Alaska, where higher than normal precipitation is likely. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
Fairbanks is getting two new bike and pedestrian paths this summer. Fairbanks Metropolitan Area Transportation System Coordinator Donna Gardino says an almost complete project near downtown has added a short paved route from the Steese Highway to Grail Park along the Chena River.
It's it's not really the length so much as the access of getting down from the Steese Highway. People either had to take the stairs or they would just bomb down the embankment on their bike. And now they actually have an ADA access ramp from both the north and the south down. And then we built a sidewalk along the front part of Grail Park.
A second project getting underway this month will add a bike and pedestrian access path from the Steese Highway up to the North Star Borough's Birch Hill Recreation Area. Gardino says the path will provide safer non-motorized access along Birch Hill Road.
Most of the facility is going to be separate from the road, although there are a couple areas where we've had to bring it up onto the road due to some right-of-way issues.
The new bike and pedestrian path is expected to be done by October. Meanwhile, a meeting is being held next week to share options for extension of a multi-use path near the University of Alaska Fairbanks. The route from UAF up Miller Hill and along Yankovich Road is partially constructed. Gardino says finishing the project to connect the route to the existing bike path on Farmers Loop Road involves crossing private property.
Trying to figure out how to minimize those impacts.
The Yankovich-Miller Hill multi-use path open house is scheduled for August 9th from 6 to 8 p.m. at UAF's Patty Center. I'm Dan Bross.